Praise God. Remain seated for just a few more seconds here for the reading of the Word of God. Just remain standing. I think I said remain seated. Some of you are seating. It's okay if you're sitting and your health does not allow you to stand. We can just reverently pay attention to the Word of God. It's from the book of Ruth. We're going to be reading tonight. Cartea lui Ruth, the book of Ruth, chapter 3, the New King James Version, from the book of Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. Ruth, chapter 3, verse 1 through 5. We have it up there. Then Naomi, her mother-in-law, said to her, "My daughter, shall I not seek security for you, that it may be well with you?" Now Boaz, whose young women you were with, is he not our relative? In fact, he is winnowing barley tonight at the threshing floor. Therefore, wash yourself and anoint yourself. Put on your best garment and go down to the threshing floor, but do not make yourself known to the man until he has finished eating and drinking. Then it shall be, when he lies down, that you shall notice the place where he lies, and you shall go in, uncover his feet, and lie down, and he will tell you what you should do. And she said to her, "All that you say to me, I will do." Amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but this year, I felt like this year kind of started with a vengeance. At first, it was as if we were about to go to war with Iran. Australia was burning. There's an impeachment going on in this country. Then there was the big Megxit with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry leaving the royal family. Seemed like everything was being turned upside down. Then, you know, the news in our own church, and it seemed like people were in the hospital and people were needing help, and it just felt like the year was starting off with such a vengeance, and I felt like, wow, what a beginning to the year. What is it going to be? What is 2020 going to be like? And for those of you who still feel, in a way, anxiety or fear about 2020, I have a message for you tonight of hope, of redemption, of blessing, the blessing that God promised you. If there's still people in this church that are praying for a blessing, you've been praying for a blessing in 2019 and it didn't come, and you started 2020 praying for a blessing, this message is for you. I'm actually going to talk about five things that Ruth does. I love the book of Ruth because of the faithfulness of God. It shows the faithfulness of God and the loyalty and the goodness of Ruth, which I think is an example for us today. I also love Naomi's character because I think she is a great mentor. And Lord, do we need mentors more than ever. I hope and pray that you find a Naomi in your life. Pentru cei care sunt tinere, mă rog ca Domnul să vă găsească un Naomi în viața voastră. Iar pentru cele în vârstă, Domnul să vă găsească un Ruth. May the Lord find a Ruth for our older sisters and our old. There is a need for mentorship. There is a need to have solid people in your life. And that is what Naomi is. This is a story about an older woman who's been very experienced, guiding a younger woman about how to receive her blessing. And she's giving her the steps, very methodical, very practical. This is how you get your blessing. And I would like to look at these five steps, very practical for us tonight, how to receive our blessing, the five steps of how to receive your blessing in 2020. I'm going to give them to you, then I'm going to get out of your way, and you go and get your blessing, because God has promised you a blessing, the blessing that you've been praying for, hoping for, is here. But will you do it? Will you take the steps necessary to receive your blessing? This morning when I left our house, I looked at a tree that keeps bugging me and bothering me. I told Simona we're going to cut it this year because all the other trees around it are not growing. It's a big California pine tree, I guess. I don't know if that's what you call it. But basically, it sucks all the water from the other trees, and all the other trees remain small. And I thought about it driving away from this ugly-looking tree that I want to chop down. And I thought about the fact that in our lives, we often have people around us that suck the energy out of us and are doing nothing more than draining us and not allowing us to grow. And so the first thing I think we need is real godly people in our lives. People like Naomi to tell us what the steps are and to guide us and to offer godly wisdom. Amen? The first thing Naomi tells Ruth to do, the first thing she says you must do, is wash yourself. Wash yourself. That's so powerful. Go wash yourself. Spalate. Wash yourself of the past. Wash yourself of the guilt. You can't get your blessing if you have not first washed yourself. The first thing you have to do in order to get your blessing is wash yourself. You can't have the dirt of old. Many of us think that we can start a new year with the same old habits. One of the things that God told our family this year is about habits. Habits as a family, for example. The Lord's been putting an impression on our heart to change our habits. Change things, like what time do you go to sleep at night? What time do you wake up in the morning? How much time do you spend on electronic devices? How much time do you spend with each other? Change the old habits. You can't come into a new year with old habits, but yet we find ourselves sometimes in old habits. In Luke chapter 15, 11, we have the prodigal son, and the word of God says that he came to his senses when he saw that there was a famine and the state that he was in. And the first thing that he decided to do after he came to his senses is that he was going to go back. He was going to break the habit and have a new attitude. Have a new attitude. Old habits or an old sins that must be washed away. Păcate vechi, păcate noi, care trebuie să le spălăm. Spală-te, zice Naomi la Ruth. Wash yourself. Wash yourself. Wash away the past. Wash away the friendships. Wash away the guilt. Wash away the sin from your life. Wash away the bad habits. Your attitude needs to change. We need an attitude adjustment for this year to get our blessing. Amen? May God change our attitude, our attitude towards church, our attitude towards our friends, our attitude towards each other. But it's about your attitude towards your job, your attitude towards your school, your attitude towards your family. Your attitude. You cannot have altitude without first changing your attitude. God wants to take you to the next level this year, but you can't do it with the same attitude that you've had in 2020, in 2019, or that you've started 2020 with. Your attitude is going to determine your altitude. How high you go, how far you get, is based on your attitude. There's a big attitude change in the prodigal son. We spoke about the prodigal son. The prodigal son, at the beginning, what does he say to his father? What is the first thing he says to him? He says, Father, give me, Give me, dă-mi, dă-mi. And then something happens with him. We know what happens to him. And in the end, when he sees the Father, when he comes to his senses, he says, Father, Fama, make me, make me, make me. Maybe your attitude last year was, Father, give me. Father, give me. Give me this, give me that. Give me a good job. Give me a good wife. Give me good friends. Give me money. Give me prestige. How about this year your prayer changes and instead of Father, give me, say, Father, make me. Father, make me. Make me. John 15, chapter 2 says, every branch that does not bear fruit, he prunes. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes so that it can bear more fruit. Pruning. You guys know what it is? When gardening, you have to cut the branches from the tree to bear fruit. It's interesting in this verse, basically you're pruned if you do, you're pruned if you don't. You get pruned if you bear fruit, you get pruned if you bear fruit so you can bear more fruit. Are you allowing yourself to be pruned? To be pruned. That is the attitude of being washed, of washing. And then there is anointing. Naomi tells her, wash yourself and anoint yourself. The anointing is for the face, so the face can shine. Anoint your face. Wash yourself and anoint yourself. A glowing look. A glowing look. The anointing gives you a glowing look. You know, it's interesting about the anointing is that when you meet people that have the anointing of God on their lives, don't you see it on their faces? You can see it. The anointing is visible. Anoint your face. Wash. You cannot put the anointing until you've washed. So first you have to wash. Wash away the sin. Wash away the old stuff. Wash away the old life. The old you. So that you can put on the anointing. So that you can put on the anointing of God. The anointing is not makeup. It's not something that can be fixed with getting degrees. You can have as many degrees as a thermometer, but still act like a peasant and talk like you're not saved. Education doesn't fix it. You need the anointing. You need the anointing in your life so you can shine. So you can shine around you. No one wants to interact with you if you're not a happy person. If you come into work and all you do is complain. If your attitude isn't fixed. And you know, we live in a world where basically it's all about keeping it real. Right? All of us want to keep it real. But keeping it real will keep you broke. Keeping it real will ruin your marriage. Because not everybody wants to know exactly what you think. Oh my God, I've had such a bad day. Cum e, frate? A, ca pe pământ. Știi tu cum e? Și după aia începem. Ce nu ne convine? Cât de nemulțumit suntem? Cum e la biserică? Cum e cu ăsta? Cum e cu jobul? Cum e? Nimic nu merge bine. That's not the anointing, brothers and sisters. It's part of our Romanian culture. We like to complain. Let's be honest. We feel better if we complain to somebody. At least somebody listens. But that's not the anointing. Nobody wants to be around people that are always complaining. Nobody, your colleagues don't want you to come to work and say, oh, my babysitter called in sick and this is that and look at the traffic and it's horrible and it's... Stop complaining. Put on the anointing and change your attitude. Wash away the past. The anointing gives you a glowing look. Happiness. That's what they want from you at work, right? They want you to say to your customers, they want you to say, hello, welcome. How can I help you? Sit down, I'll be with you in just a moment. right? They want you to have a good attitude. You know, you can sit down and have an interview with someone, and the moment they open their mouth and they say, well, you know, I wasn't happy at my previous job, or I wasn't appreciated enough. That's the moment that you know that something's wrong, right? The anointing gives you a new look. It gives you a glowing look. Wash yourself and anoint yourself. Then the second thing that Naomi tells Ruth to do is, after she tells her to wash herself and anoint herself, she says, put on your best garment. Put on your best. Put on your best. Îmbracă-te, I like the Romanian translation too, îmbracă-te cu hainele tale. The English version has your best, like your Sunday best. But the Romanian version also underlines that they're your clothes, not someone else's. Don't get dressed in someone else's clothes. Stop wearing someone else's clothes. Stop copying someone else's style. Stop looking at other people and thinking that, you know, one of the biggest problems we have is the problem of envy. We look at the success of other people and we become envious of them, and we never come into our own blessing. We never come into our own call and what God has for us, because we're always looking at other people. Don't fight someone else's fight. Don't jump into a fight that is not yours. Just because you see somebody that is doing good in the fight doesn't mean that it's for you. Just because you see the pastor putting his hand on someone and praying for that person, praying for the sick, or praying for deliverance, doesn't mean that that's you. Don't put on clothes that are not meant for you. Put on your clothes. But let me tell you something about your clothes. They're made to order. God created a special garment for you. And it is your garment, and it is your clothes, and it is exactly what you should be doing. When you figure that out, when you find that out, and you find your place, and you find your garment, and you find what fits you, that's going to be a wonderful day for you, because you will come into the promise and the blessing of God. Dress the part. Așa zice Naomi. Dress the part. Dress your part. Don't wear someone else's clothes. Another thing that's important about putting it on, we often talk about like putting it on as if it's something bad. You know, you're putting on a face, or you're putting on airs, or you're putting something on as if you're masking something. But Romans 13:14 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that wonderful? That when you have nothing to wear, you can put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you're trying to figure out what it is that you need to do, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you can't find your place, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you can't find your happiness, put on the Lord Jesus Christ. When you come through those doors, and you're wondering, and you're not feeling it, and you're like, I know it's going to be a 45-minute worship set, and I can't stand it, and I know that they're going to preach in 5 different languages, and I can't stand that. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come here, you come in. You know, Jesus doesn't want us to be sad when we praise him. He doesn't want us to come here. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 6:11, put on the whole armor of God. Put it on. Put it on, brother and sister. Put it on at work. Put it on at church. Put it on in your family. It is something that you have to put on. It's a decision. It doesn't come to you automatically. Your willingness to serve, your happiness serving God, doesn't come to you automatically. You know, some of us are worried that, you know, we lost the joy. We don't have the joy to serve anymore. And we stay around and we wait for the joy to hit us from heaven somehow. Că ca și cum ne cade în cap și o să ne lovească odată bucuria de a sluji. Nu e așa, frate și soră. Put it on. In the name of Jesus, put it on. It is yours to take and you put it on. Îmbracă-te. Îmbracă-te cu bucurie, îmbracă-te cu smerenie, îmbracă-te cu adevăr. Amen? It is yours to put on and it is your specific garment. Don't chase someone else's clothes. Don't look for someone else's style. Don't covet someone else's car, someone else's house, someone else's job. We don't know. We don't know what it's like. But what we do know is that what's yours, ce a tău e pus deoparte. Naomi o știut. Naomi knew that what's Ruth, God put aside for her. That the blessing was yours, and it's no one else's. It's yours. And that's why you don't have to worry about what other people are doing and what other people are wearing and what other people are saying. The third thing Naomi says to Ruth, the third thing she says, is to go to the place. To go to the place. Go down to the place. Go put your best garment and go down to the threshing floor. It's a specific place that Naomi gives her. It's a specific address. I don't know about you, but I'm tired of searching for the place. Maybe you've hit your head enough in 2019 looking for the thing, and you've tried many things and it didn't work. You've tried to open different businesses and it didn't work. You tried different ideas and it didn't work. You tried different relationships and it didn't work. You're looking for different jobs and it didn't work. 2020, let the 2020 be the year where you find the place. You find the place. Go to the right place. The right place. You know, we have the right blessing but the wrong address. Have you ever experienced that in your life? We know the blessing but we don't know the address. It's like trying to deliver a package and you don't have the right address. And it's returned to sender. Or you get a note from UPS. Maybe you weren't home when it came. The right place, the right address. Am I in the right place? Are you in the right place to get your blessing? Where are you at? Let's ask ourselves, unde suntem? Suntem în locul potrivit? Suntem în locul unde ne-a pus Dumnezeu? Ești la locul unde te vrea Dumnezeu? If you're in the right place, the blessing is yours. I'm not just talking about, are you in the right church, or are you in the right address, are you in the right area code, are you in the right zip code? Are you in the right place in your heart? Are you in the right place in your life where God can really work with you? And why are you going to different places? Why are you jumping around? Why are you changing your identity? This year, today you're a doctor. Tomorrow, you're a violinist. The next week, you're a painter. The week after that, you're a lawyer. No one knows what you are anymore because you're not in the right place, and you jump around, and you're confused about where you should be and what you should do. One of the challenges, but also blessings and opportunities of my work is that I get to talk to students. And I love talking to students because they're at a time in their life when they're trying to find themselves. And it's really, there's a lot of potential and power in that. When you talk to a person that is trying to find themselves, there's nothing wrong. Don't get me wrong. There's nothing wrong with exploring and questioning. If you're not, then there's something wrong with you. If you think everything is okay, then there's something wrong. You should always be wondering, what does God have for me? That's the adventure with Jesus. He wants you to ask. He wants you to wonder. He wants you to question whether you are where you're supposed to be. And he wants you to know also where you're supposed to be. I was with this student and I noticed in one of the classes that I teach that she was very distraught, and I went to her and I said, what's going on? Like, what's bothering you? I could tell that, because I've seen her from time to time go off to the side and have moments of prayer. And she said, you know, she broke down and she said, I have come to the point where I am really questioning my faith. You know, they come to the university from all over the world. They come from all over America. They come from good families. They come from solid families. Some of them come with solid theology and good teaching. And the moment they enter college, all of that gets bombarded. And everything becomes easily accessible, and everything goes. There's no parental supervision. You're out of the house. You can basically do whatever you want. And with that freedom comes a lot of danger. And those of you who are going to college and who have experienced this, you know what I'm talking about. You don't even have to be in college. Even in high school, you experience the same thing. Everyone is offering you something. Everyone is challenging your beliefs. Everyone is questioning whether or not what you believe is right. And you're questioning it yourself. And maybe you hope you come to church that somebody has the answers, because you go back the next week and every single day you're going to get bombarded with new things. This is the way the brain works, and this is the way the human body works, and this is the way psychology works, and this is the way society works, and everything you've learned, all your theology and everything you've ever been taught is being put under the microscope and tested and questioned and broken. And she just broke down and said, I don't know what I believe anymore. I looked at myself and I said, what answer can I give her that will make sense to someone who's started to question her beliefs? She said, for example, how can God be a good God, but at the same time be evil to people? And all this evil is caused around. And how come God does not accept different people? And she was questioning, and she had come to a crisis of faith. And I said to her, I said, Dumnezeu m-a luminat, and I said, has God been good to you? Yes. He still loves you, even when you are questioning. And let me tell you something. You're not at the wrong place. You're in the right place. You're in the right place to come here and question. What God does not want you to do is to give up on him when he never, ever gave up on you. Amen? You're at the right place. Wherever you are in your life right now, actually, interestingly enough, Ruth is going through the threshing floor. And you know what happens at the threshing floor? The threshing floor is where the wheat gets separated from the chaff. There's the separation that happens with the grain there. The fruit comes out on the threshing floor. Go to the right place, and the right place is a low place. She went down to the threshing floor at the feet of Boaz. Brothers and sisters, the place where we need to be is at the feet of Jesus. At the feet of Jesus, it's safe. The woman who was about to be stoned to death, at the feet of Jesus, Jesus bows down to her, comes down to her and says, Where are those who accuse you? Neither do I accuse you. El se pleacă acolo. But that's where God wants us to be, at his feet, at the threshing floor. And if you feel like, you know, I'm in a low place, or I just feel right now that I'm down, that's not the wrong place to be. That is the starting point. That's the starting point of God's blessing, right there. Ezekiel 3:22, arise, go to the valley, and there I will speak to you. Arise, go to the valley, go to the low place. Go to the valley, and in the valley, there, in the valley, I will speak to you. We want God to speak to us, but we only want God to speak to us when we're up high. We don't want God to speak to us, go in the valley, go in the desert, go in the hole, and that's when I'll speak to you. Who wants that? But brothers and sisters, my experience, and I believe your experience as well, has been that. That God spoke to you when you were in the hole. And sometimes he had to get you there to speak to you. To get you down on the threshing floor and to bear fruit. God is everywhere, but his revelation and glory is in a specific place. And that place for you tonight might be a valley in your life or might be the threshing floor. Are you in the right place? Are you in the right place? The other thing that Naomi tells her to do is to go there. So she's going to wash her face, anoint herself, put on her garments, go to the threshing floor, go to that specific place. And then once she gets there, what is she supposed to do? She's supposed to wait. She's supposed to wait. S'aștepte. It's the worst thing to do, to wait. I have a hard time with waiting, I'll admit. I'm not a very patient person. My wife will tell you that. My dad will tell you that. He's been dealing with me all his life. He can't even sit at the same table with me to eat because I finish my food before everybody else. Those of you who have had a meal with me will attest to this. I don't have patience for anything. I want to go, go, go. I'm namrabdare. And God is working with me on that. And that's an area of my life that I need to fix. And God's still working with me. But the truth is, brothers and sisters, that we can't have our blessing unless we are willing to wait. We're willing to wait. Waiting is the hardest thing. Psalm 38:15, but for you, O Lord, I wait. But for you, O Lord, I wait. Who are you waiting for? But cine aștept? You're waiting. Who are you waiting for? Are you waiting for the Lord? Or are you waiting for people? Are you waiting for a sign? Are you waiting for the stars to fall down from heaven? Wait for the Lord. He's near. He's near. Abraham, in Hebrews 6:15, so beautiful, talks about Abraham. Abraham, having waited patiently, obtained his promise. Abraham didn't just obtain his promise. He waited patiently. And because he waited patiently and waiting patiently, he received his promise. But we can't just wait. There has to be a reason to wait. You can't just be sitting around waiting forever. There's a lot of people who are waiting, and they're waiting around, and they're waiting, and they don't know why they're waiting. Waiting for what? Waiting for Godot. Who are you waiting for, and what are you waiting for? And this is the beautiful thing, what Naomi tells her, is that he will tell you. He will tell you what you should do. He will tell you. Îți va spune. Îți va spune și el însuși îți va spune ce să faci. Tonight, if you're waiting, I hope that you're waiting for a word from the Lord to tell you what to do. And he will tell you what to do. In time, will you obey? That's number 5, obedience. Waiting, he will tell you what to do. Why are you waiting? You're waiting because of obedience. You will obey when he tells you what to do. All that you say to me, I will do, says Ruth. Tot ce îmi vei spune, I will do. You know, it's very difficult to find people today that will come and tell you, I'm going to do everything God says. When you find a person like that, hang on to them. They're a good friend. But it's also interesting to see, are you going to do everything God tells you, every little thing that God tells you to do? Because sometimes God tells you to do things that seem crazy. Sometimes God tells you to do things that are definitely hard. He's not going to tell you to do something super easy all the time. Most of the things that God has asked me to do in life have been super difficult. Will you obey? It's very easy to say, I will do what God says. But what if God says something that is asking you to sacrifice something in your life? What if God tells you something that is telling you to give up on that dream that you had because it's not from me? To give up on that person that you've been dating or following on Instagram because they're not for me. You know, sometimes God asks us to do hard things. Are we ready to obey? Brothers and sisters, do we want our blessing in 2020? I do believe that God wants to bless you. I do believe that God wants to bless your family. But we can't just keep going like everything is okay, just like in 2019. We have to take steps. Step number one is wash. Let's wash ourselves. Let's wash ourselves. Let's wash our families. Let's wash our faces. Let's wash our past. Let's wash our sins. Let's wash away bad teachings, bad practices, bad attitudes. Let's wash ourselves. Let's anoint ourselves with the glowing anointing of the Holy Spirit so that when we look at each other, when we come to church, we can see the anointing on each face. Put on Jesus Christ. Put ye on Jesus Christ. If your face don't look good, put on Jesus. Amen? It's not enough that we just wash and anoint and look good. We have to go to the place. We have to go to the right place. And sometimes the right place may be a place of the valley, a place of suffering, where God is working us to take the fruit out of us. Unde se prelucrează, unde Dumnezeu ne prelucrează. Because he's preparing, you know, preparing means, you know, a paring knife where you take a knife and you cut the edges of something to fit it into shape. That's what prepare is. He's preparing you to fit you, to cut, to carve you into place. So that you wear your own clothes, put on the clothing, put on Jesus, and not someone else's, and that you fit the place where he's called you to be. And then he's called you to wait. Așteaptă. Wait upon the Lord. Don't trust your own judgment. You know, if you did things in 2019 using your own judgment because you were smart and you saw that things didn't come out right, why are you going to do the same thing in 2020? Don't do the same thing in 2020. Wait on the Lord. Wait on his word. He will speak to you if you wait on him. And then the most important one is, will we obey? Will we obey and do what God tells us to do? Let's say tonight with a resounding yes, Lord Jesus, I will do everything you ask me to do. Tot ce-mi vei cere. Amen.